All right. Well, as we get started, we wanted to also have service. If you can see, yeah, you can. I'll move down. We are moving and going to be celebrating Advent. If you're unfamiliar with Advent, it's something that I did not grow up ever experiencing through Christmas, and sometimes a little bit, there are churches and traditions that practice the Advent in a very traditional way. And as Jay and I were prepping for this Christmas season coming up, we have always ebbed and flowed on how we're preaching, what we're preaching, why we're preaching, what we're preaching. And I had told him, I had mentioned already a few times that I was going to be going through, I'd purchased this She Reads Truth journal, and to take me through the Advent time. And as we talked about it more and more, we thought that we would like to walk through Advent together as a congregation. And so I have done a horrible job at, as I normally do, at promoting a group for myself. We'll be putting group information out there. But we want to gather together and read through the week. It's not going to start this Monday, probably start next Monday. If you want to join that group, I would encourage you to grab this book. And I think there's somewhere you can do it. But also available to us as we're going through Advent is going to be just a daily reading plan that we have actually made available. And there's reflections. We want you to grab your journal and we want to get in the Word together, especially in this time where there's so much busyness. You can go to, I think, dwellinghousechurch.com/Bible. If it's not working right now, it will be working. But that's where you're going to find this reading plan, as well as we'll be emailing it to everybody. But the reason we wanted to go through Advent together as a congregation is we wanted to take a time to really reflect on the anticipation of the birth of Jesus. Advent has a focus each week, and this week we're going to be talking about the hope of Jesus. And there are some practices, and I'm going to actually do it right now. Now, I'm new to this, so if you grew up having Advent part of your tradition, bear with me. But really what we do every week and what we'll be doing every Sunday is we'll be lighting a candle. And really the purpose of this is to have us take time to reflect on the coming of Jesus. You know, Christmas time, the longer or faster or the older I get, seems to be going faster and faster. And really the reason we wanted to take some time to slow down and reflect on different aspects of anticipation of Jesus coming is because that's what this whole season is about. Everything is always calling for our attention, but we decided that we wanted to journey together in these weeks leading up to Christmas to slow down and look for Jesus in the midst of this season. It's about changing the rhythm of our hearts. It's about pausing, and it's allowing ourselves to put distractions aside to reflect on the beauty of this season. Today, as I mentioned, as I lit the first candle, we're reflecting on hope, the hope that is found in Jesus, the light of the world. You know, when you think about light, it's amazing how much a little candle or a flashlight or any sort of light will illuminate, but especially in darkness, especially when they're, you know, back in the olden days, that's what they would do, right? They would, when we didn't have electricity, they would light the candles, and there was this idea that it would light up a room. We have our Christmas tree up, and this morning as I walked downstairs, it was so nice. It was dark in my house, but I could see this glimmer of light coming from our living room. And it didn't illuminate everything so brightly, but it definitely made the way that I could see a lot better than if there was no light. Since the beginning of time, Jesus has been our hope and our light. There has never been a time that he's not been that very thing. In the darkest of times, Jesus always has been the light. We see in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and this is a familiar verse for many of us, but it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear for a witness, to bear the witness of the light, that through him that all through him might believe. He, John, was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light." that the true, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, and to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I think I didn't give them all of that scripture, so I apologize. But from the beginning, he was the light. The light found in him is the light of men. It was and is the light of men to this day. And the light breaks through the darkness. The darkness cannot overtake the light of Jesus. You know, as I was studying and I was praying and I've been considering life and what seems to be such an almost minuscule light is that circumstances try to dictate our lives. But Jesus has come to overtake that so we can find hope in him and that he is what we hold on to. Something that says in Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to just focus on two simple things today, which is talking about the hope and light in Jesus. But Isaiah chapter 9 says this, verse 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined." I had a sense that there are those who are weary and feel like there is no hope. Circumstances would try to remind you how bleak the situation is and just to give up. But time and time again, as we see here in Scripture and we see throughout Scripture, is that when our hope, they had hope in the Messiah to come, and then when Jesus came, hope in Jesus changed circumstances. And today, if you're here, he isn't done with you. Today, as we talk about the hope in Jesus, that no matter what your circumstances you're facing, no matter where you find yourself, the hope in Jesus never fails us. His light cannot be comprehended by the darkest parts of your circumstances that you're facing. As we light this candle, as I lit this candle, as a simple reminder, as an act of remembrance, that hope in Jesus will never fail us. He is not done with you. If your circumstances feel insurmountable, you are to have hope and remind, and I'm here to remind you that Jesus has overcome the world. So hold on to hope to him. Let the light be a reminder that in your darkest moments, we are to look for Jesus. You know, oftentimes we hear people say, "Why would Jesus allow this to happen? Why would God allow this to happen?" And I think some of the times we stop looking for God in the circumstances. We stop looking for Jesus in the circumstances, and our eyes begin to look at the circumstances versus looking for the hope of Jesus. You know, would we be a people that would start to look for the hope and light in Jesus in everywhere we go and in every circumstance we face? Now, I'm not saying that we have to go and walk and say, like, you know, blindly in some ways, but there does have to come a point where we decide, where am I going to look? Where am I going to keep that wonder? Where am I going to look for Jesus in my circumstances? You know, I was reminded, I was one day walking through some things that had happened in my life previously, and I was talking with someone through this, and we were walking through this very, very memorable moment that had happened. It wasn't one of these memories that I had, and I remember them saying, and I was sitting there crying over it, and I remember her saying, "Susie, where's Jesus? Where was Jesus in that moment? Look for him. Where do you think he was?" Because everyone around me would want me to focus on, or so many times, we'll want to focus on the bad that is happening. And it's not that the bad isn't happening, but we are to look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, who is our protector, who is the one that hides the that we're to find like safety and hide in the shadows of the Almighty. What happens if in this season, in this Advent season, in this place where it is the purpose of Advent is Advent literally means in Latin, the coming, that in this time of the arrival that we're waiting for Jesus, that we would look for him in the midst of our circumstances? What if we started to look for the hope in light everywhere? In the bad times, would we look for Jesus? In the desperate times, would we look for Jesus? In the good times, would we look for Jesus? In the blessings, would we look for Jesus? What if we looked at our life and approached it with a curiosity and wonder of where Jesus can be found in the midst of whatever circumstance you find ourselves in? Oftentimes, though, I feel like when we are going through desperate things, it's a lot easier to look for Jesus. Like, Jesus, where are you? What is happening? Where are you? Where can the hope be found? And sometimes in my own fleshly celebratory things of life, when things are going good, it's so easy to not look with anticipation or curiosity of where Jesus can be found in the good. It's just easy to celebrate the blessings and the good and life and cheer and all of those things and equally forget about where Jesus can be found. And I believe that as we're walking through this season of going into Christmas, as we're walking into this season of looking for Jesus, that we would look for him no matter the circumstance, that we would have the curiosity and wonder where he is. That in our waiting, we would look for him. In our celebrating, we would look for him. And I tell you that if we begin to change our focus and change our perspectives, our lives will be changed because we will see the goodness and faithfulness of God in places we would easily overlook. I believe the idea of looking for Jesus in the waiting and looking for Jesus in the good and looking for Jesus in the darkest times, our lives and perspectives can be changed, but we must be willing to look for the hope that is only found in Jesus. Jesus says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the assurance that we get. That's the hope we hold on to, that in the midst of everything, we hold on to him. That in the midst of everything, we hold on to the one who is unchanging, the one who cannot lie, the one who stands by his word, the one who is faithful. This is what the Advent season is all about. It's all about looking for the one who is faithful to his promise. You know, when we think about that, I'm sure that, and we read about it in scripture, so many people miss Jesus because they weren't looking for Jesus. They were looking for someone they expected him to be. But I wonder what would have happened if they would have approached Jesus with a curiosity and wonder that maybe Jesus showing up in the way that he did it as a babe in a swaddled in clothes, in a manger, in a barn, that maybe there's more wonder to be found about who he is. As I was praying and I had the most obscure place and I thought, this is not an Advent message. This is not an Advent place. But I was reminded of some place in scripture about what it looks like to be a people who hold on to the promises of God, who hold on looking for the light, and who hold on looking for the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to 1 Kings, and we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, and let me give you a little bit of a recap what is happening. Elijah, he's a prophet, and he's just prophesied to Israel, basically, that drought was coming. Up to this point, there was many kings that Israel had who basically didn't fear God and did evil in his sight. And so here is Elijah, and he's prophesied now that there's a drought. There's also what's happening simultaneously is Jezebel, and Ahab allows it, is killing the prophets of God. And their people are serving Baal. There's no kings who fear the Lord. Israel has turned from God and circumstances are dire. They're serving an earthly God that's satisfying their fleshly needs. And here comes Elijah. He has just prophesied over a drought and Jezebel is going and killing the people of God. This doesn't seem like a very great situation. And on the word of the Lord, Elijah goes, and we're going to start in 18, verse 1 and 2. It says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year," all right, "saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain to the earth.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria." So here Elijah goes after many times, after like 3 years, and he's going back to the very place where they are killing the prophets of God. But he's going on the word of the Lord. He's going into the dark place. He's going carrying the light of the word of the promise that God has given him. God gives him a promise, and the circumstances have even looked worse. But he goes despite what circumstances tell him. He goes because he knows that the one who is faithful has called him to go do something. So he walks into the dark place. He walks on. He walks into this dire situation. He walks into this dangerous place carrying the word and promise of God. In chapter 18 and verse 41, it says, then Elijah said to Ahab. So they've went back and forth. He comes to Ahab. It's this whole situation. Read it, but we're going to pick up for time's sake. We're going to pick up here. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. There is a sound of an abundance of rain. I'm going to tell you, it has not rained yet. But Elijah is saying, and he's holding on to the promise of God. So Ahab went up and drank, and then Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. So when he looked up and said, there is nothing, and seven times he said, go again. Let me explain to you what is happening. That in the midst of all of this, Elijah is holding on to a promise of God. He's holding on to that light. He's holding on to that hope that is only found in our anchor, that is only found in the one who is faithful to his promise. And he contends in prayer for a promise that God has already given him. He gets down and he positions himself in humility. He positions himself in intercession. He positions himself in prayer. And he sends out his servant. And he says, go look for the hope. Go look for the light. And he sends them seven times. Are we willing to be people that hold on to the light after the first time, after the second time, after the third time, after the fourth time, after the fifth time, after the sixth time, after the seventh time? I didn't even like counting right now up to seven. I thought I'll just start at one. They get the point. But no, that's the point, is that when we hold on to the hope of Jesus Christ, when we hold on to the promises of God, despite what the situations might look like in front of us, we look for the light. We look for expectation. We hold on to the hope, and we continue to learn how to pray, how to contend, and we hold on to the promises that is the hope of Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you what happens after the seventh time. Then it came to pass after the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Let me tell you, it wasn't this abundance of rain all of a sudden. No, he said, a cloud. There's a cloud as small as a man's hand. As small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. When I was meditating and praying, I was thinking about that visual, that the light sometimes of hope, that the glimmer that we find in Jesus sometimes seems so small. And if we're not looking for Jesus, we're going to miss it. If we're looking for something extravagant to be the answer prayer, I think sometimes we're going to miss it. But when we're looking for Jesus, when we're looking for that light, when we're looking for that hope, I'm going to tell you, would we be people that says, I see it. Lord, I see the flickering. I see the hope. I see you in the midst of this. I see you. I'm going to keep going until circumstance change, despite what people around me tell me, despite what's happening. This is the hope that we find in Jesus. This is a hope that can only be found in Jesus. And that we would be a people of faith that would say, I see it. I see God. I see you in this situation. I saw you over there. This is how I was able to bless this person there. That we would be people who would hold and contend, and that we would say, we see it. Even if it's as small as a man's hand. There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go now before the rain stops you. Let me tell you, there's a prophetic declaration, and Elijah, who is a prophet of God, is speaking prophetically because of his hope in his God, not because of the circumstance. Because the circumstance at this point would not indicate that things would be so overwhelming that Ahab would not be able to go. And it says in verse 45, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, and then the hand of God came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. See, this is what happens, and this is what the Lord wants to do. This is what finding that hope and being reminded of that hope in this season is. But if we're unable to change our posture and slow down and look for God, we're gonna miss him. And we don't wanna miss him, especially in this beautiful season that is quite literally the gift of Jesus that was given to us. The darkness cannot overcome the light. I'm here to remind you that keep looking for Jesus until the circumstances change. Keep declaring with your mouth until the circumstances change. My hope is in you, Jesus. Help me find you. Help me see you. Let us be a people who declare with our mouth the prophetic truths found in God's word, knowing he is faithful to his word, he is faithful to his promises, and our job is to continue to contend and look for him and posture ourselves just like Elijah, that we would come and submit ourselves in prayer. That as we're reading through scripture in this month, as we are preparing for the arrival of the greatest gifts, that we would posture ourselves in a place that wouldn't miss the hope found in Jesus. The other place that he reminded me, and this is, I believe, a prophetic mandate for ourselves. I actually, as I was reading, I realized I have read, especially because it's in the first part of Luke chapter 1. But I have missed this before. And as I was preparing our message, I felt like this was also the other place of the prophetic mandate for us. As we approach this Advent season, as we approach this place of looking for the hope, reflecting on the hope found in Jesus, it's not for nothing. So Luke chapter 1, as you may know, Zechariah, he and Elizabeth, they had John. When Zechariah was given the promise or told him that he was going to have a son, he doubted, he goes mute, he can't speak. She gives birth, and everyone's talking about what they should name him, and he had already been told what to name, so he names him John. And this is the prophetic prophecy that he is speaking over John. But I want us to understand that I believe this is also a prophetic mandate in this season, period. I'm going to start really quick. We don't have to go there. It says on chapter 1, verse 67 says, Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, let me tell you, we have not talked about this enough, but the Holy Spirit wants to prophetically move through you. He wants to speak through you. He wants you prophetically speaking over people's lives, speaking life. I'm going to continue to remind us of this because I think it is one of the greatest gifts we have is the Holy Spirit, that we have been given gifts as believers for us to live a life that is full, that is hanging on to hope. And so I just love that it said this, that it said he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Would we be filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesy? But let me tell you, and we're going to skip down to verse 76. And he's speaking over John, but I believe that this is a word to be spoken over you and I. It says this, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remissions of their sins through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let me explain something to you. Nothing has changed. It has been planned from the beginning that we as people are to be declarers of the kingdom of God, that we are to be people who prepare the way, that we are to be people who go. And it says so beautifully here that we would go before the face of God to prepare his way. Nothing has changed. We are the way. We are the ones who are to prepare the way, who are to share the way, who are to share the tender mercies of God and the salvation that can only be found in Jesus. Yes, this is about John, but I want us to build our faith that we can walk in this promise, and we would be people who would be helping and ready as people are ready and looking for Jesus. Because there's two times, most times, that people are looking for Jesus. And the one time is during Christmas. People are surrounded and bombarded with the message of the gospel every day. If you're listening to Christmas music, I'm telling you, the Christmas music, old hymns, are filled with the gospel. When people are going, they're seeing these nativity scenes that are out. They're seeing all this stuff that's around them. That this time is being infiltrated with the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Would we be people who would have already sought our face or sought our face towards the Father, and that we would be ready to prepare the way to declare to the people the knowledge of salvation that is only found in Jesus, that through the tender mercies of God, we would be people who would share the light of the world so people are no longer sitting in darkness, so people are no longer sitting in the shadow of death. And when I read that, I realized there's so many people who are literally sitting in death's doorstep, who are just waiting to die, who are hoping to die, who cannot wait to die. And here we have a gospel message that says you no longer have to sit in the shadow of death. You no longer have to sit in the darkness, but Jesus has come because he is the light of the world. He has come so that you might have hope. He has come so you don't have to be lost. This is the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. This is what we are to be walking in, that we would be people in this Christmas season that would not just hold on to hope for our lives, that we would not be people who would only be looking for Jesus in our lives, but we would be looking for Jesus to share the light and hope with those around, people who are looking for him. Let us walk through this Christmas season like we have a hope to give other people. Let us walk through this Christmas season like we have something to give. Let us walk in this Christmas season like there is a hope that we're holding on to. Let us walk alert. It says in Scripture that we would walk circumspectly, looking to redeem the time that is lost, to redeem the time for people who are sitting in the darkness, in the shadow of death. Let us be a people who would set our feet and we would walk into peace. We would walk in the peace knowing that despite our circumstances, we know the true hope that is only found in Jesus. Let us be hope dealers and light bearers and light sharers. As we're ending in this time, as we end today, as we're getting ready to gear up in our week, and as we're getting ready to end our weekend, would we be renewed with a hope that there's so much more available for people? I am very excited. I don't know if I should share this now, but in the new year, we're going to be sharing and discussing and studying together as a congregation the names of God and who he is. That we're gearing up and we're getting ready. And as we've been talking about this new year that's coming up, I believe the reason that we need to be declaring who God is because there's people who are thinking they don't even know if it's worth it. They don't even know if God is real. I have heard over and over and over in different testimonies that build my faith of when people shared their faith, how someone's life has been transformed. My hope is that we would be a people who would be shaken to their core because we've been in the presence of God, and we cannot do anything but share the goodness of God. So my prayer is simply, I'm going to pray this over you today, over you and I, because I am not like immune to this. As I am studying, my faith was challenged. Like I said, when I was like, how have I never read this prophetic word over John? How have I just bypassed it? But I'm going to tell you that God is so good and he's so faithful. And I believe that as I pray over you, would you just come into agreement with that? Would you come into agreement that you are going to be a person who's going to take the time to just slow down and reflect on the goodness of God in this season? And not only would you take time to reflect on the goodness of God, but that you would share this message with people. Now, I mean, you could share this quite literal message, but the message. All right, so I'm just going to pray if you would bow your heads wherever you are. If you have kiddos by you, would you put your hands on them? Would you declare, allow this to be true? I'm going to tell you that, I think in Joel where it talks about how like in the last days that like old and young, I believe that there's a move God wants to have. And it's not to pressure kids to perform. It really is just to set the atmosphere to say, hey, what do you hear God speaking to you? What do you think Jesus is saying in you? And encouraging them that they hear the voice of God now. That they are wanting, that the Lord would speak through them and to them. And we want to encourage that. We believe that to be true, that there is no junior Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit that's in me is a Holy Spirit that's in little Ellie, that's the same Holy Spirit that's in my kids. And while the maturing and growing is different for all of us, he's still available to anyone who's willing to just listen and walk in obedience. So I'm going to pray over us. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus, who was the light, who is the light. Lord, I thank you that circumstances do not get to dictate how the light shines in darkness, but we get to walk into circumstances knowing that we serve the God who has already overcome the world. And so with that, we come as light bearers. We come bearing the light of Jesus in our lives. We come bearing the light of Jesus in our hearts. And we come looking for the light of Jesus in all of our circumstances. We come looking for Jesus in the midst of whatever circumstances are trying to dictate, whatever they're trying to dictate. Jesus, we look for you. Would you open our eyes? We don't want our eyes to be veiled. We don't want our hearts to be hard. We want to see you in the midst of circumstances, God, in the good, in the desperate, in the bad times. Jesus, we say and we declare that we will look for you, the light of the world, the hope of our salvation. God, that we would look for a flickering of light, that we would know that you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, we declare that in the midst of our circumstances, we would look for you. And just like Elijah sent his servant 7 times, and Elijah stood there in prayer looking, he knew that he could look for you. He sent him out with expectation to find you because you had spoken a promise that we would be people who would look with expectation for you, God, that we would look for expectation for you in our prayers, that we would look for expectation for you in the scripture, that we would look for expectation for you through our encounters with one another. God, we thank you that you are faithful. And so I declare today that we here at Dwelling House, that we are children of the Most High, that we will be called prophets of the Most High, that we are your children who bear your name, who bear your inheritance, who bear your promises. God, I pray that when we go before you, when we go before your face, Lord, that you would help us to learn what it means to prepare the way, how you want to prepare the way in us and how you want to prepare the way in and through us, Father. We thank you that you have given us the knowledge of salvation to be shared with people that is only given through your tender mercies. So God, we pray that in our encounters and our times with you, that we would encounter you, the living well, the hope, the spring of life. God, we come and we ask and we come with expectation. And Lord, we declare, Jesus, that we would share that light with those who are sitting in darkness, with those who are in the shadow of death, that we would come bear your light in those places, Jesus, and we would testify of your goodness. We would testify of your hope. We would testify of your peace. We would testify of your joy. We would testify of your love, and we would testify that Jesus came in the form of a baby and came in an unlikely way so that that we would have hope and salvation. God, we pray that this season would be filled with unlikely waves, that we would see you move, that we would not be bound by our thoughts, that we would not be bound by how we think you ought to do it, but that we would be bound knowing that our hope is in you and you would do it in any way. God, we come with expectation in this season. We say, have your way. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Father, for sending your son. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is moving in and through us, and that we would be people who prophesy and we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right. All right. So we look forward to seeing you next week. If you go to dwellinghousechurch.com/Bible, the Bible reading plan with this calendar can be found there. Also, like I said, we will be emailing it, but that site is live, and we're excited. We're excited that we can leave out of here. The snowplows are here. We love you guys. We look forward to being with you next week, and have a great week.